Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 306 to finish at 25,200. S&P 500 up 32 at 2,731. NASDAQ Composite up 112 at 7,256. Russell 2000 small and mid caps up 15 at 1,537. Yield on the 10-year Treasury down 2 basis points at 2.89%. Oil up 89 cents at $61.49 per barrel. Gold up $3.10 at $13.54.30 per ounce. Stocks moved higher for a fifth consecutive session. Go figure. Wholesale prices shot up 0.4% in January, another sign that inflation is perking up. The 12-month rate of wholesale inflation rose a tick to 2.7% in January, the biggest culprit, higher oil prices. Yet a more stable measure known as Core Producer Price Index, or Core PPI, also rose 0.4%, suggesting price pressures are more widespread. The core rate strips out food, energy, and trade margins, volatile categories that can distort the report from month to month. The yearly rate of core inflation edged up to 2.5%. Meanwhile, the National Association of Home Builders Wells Fargo Housing Market Index stayed at 72 in February. Now, that's a very strong reading, just slightly below December's cycle high reading of 74. Any reading over 50 indicates good performance. The component on sales expectations in the next 6 months rose 2 points to 80. The index measuring buyer traffic held steady at 54, and the component gauging current sales conditions dropped 1 point to 78. Over the last year, the Spider S&P Home Builders ETF, the ticker XHB, has gained nearly 22%. That outpaces the S&P 500's 17% advance. Mortgage rates have climbed to the highest level in close to 4 years. That, according to data released today from Fannie Mae, the 30-year fixed-rate mortgage averaged 4.38% for the week ending February 15th. That's up from 4.32%. Initial jobless claims increased by 7,000 to 230,000 for the 7 days ending February 10th. Jobless claims have now been under the key 300,000 threshold that signals a strong labor market, been under that threshold for 154 straight weeks. Federal Reserve reports industrial production slipped 0.1% in January. It's the first decline after 4 straight gains. December's initial report of a large 0.9% increase was revised, cut in half to a 0.4% rise. Manufacturing output unchanged in January for the 2nd straight month. Mining output fell 1%. Utility output rose 0.6%. That follows a sharp 4.6% gain in the prior month. Auto production up 0.6% in January, down from a 1.1% gain in the prior month. And capacity utilization edged down to 77.5% in January from 77.7% the prior month. The capacity utilization rate reflects the limits to operating the nation's factories, mines, and utilities, still well below pre-recession levels above 80% that could fan production cost and prices. The Philadelphia Fed Manufacturing Index rose to a reading of 25.8 in February from 22.2 in January. Economists had expected a slight retreat to 21. The Empire State Index, meanwhile, slowed to a reading of 13.1 in February, down from 17.7 in January. Economists had expected a reading of 17.5. Now, this is the 4th straight drop after the index hit 28.1 in October. Both gauges still well above zero, indicating improving conditions. The real question as we started this week was how the market would react to the CPI and PPI numbers, consumer prices and producer prices, prices at the wholesale level and prices at the retail level. And it seems to have taken higher inflation in stride, given that the blame for this month's market turmoil was the above consensus read on average hourly earnings that accompanied the January jobs report, and given that the fiscal outlook worsened materially with the budget deal, everyone was terrified that Wednesday's CPI number would come in ahead of consensus and exacerbate the bond sell-off. And it did. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note popped above 2.9% yesterday, and 3% yields now seem inevitable. Remember, the bond sell-off was what triggered the market turmoil this month. And before stocks opened on Wednesday morning, Dow futures tumbled 500 points on the CPI news. But after falling off the cliff, futures started climbing. The Dow opened down but soon climbed into positive territory. Inflation? What inflation? Meanwhile, the dollar tried to rally on Wednesday with the CPI print, but that ultimately failed miserably and the bottom fell out. The dollar has dropped to its 2017 low against the Japanese yen on the way to nobody quite knows where. A weak dollar would be good for exports, but it doesn't attract foreign investment in financial assets. So, anyway, stocks started going higher and continued higher today on the news of inflation at the wholesale level. Volatility eased. The VIX is back down below 20. We've already seen more 1% moves in the S&P 500 in 2018 than we saw in all of 2017. Maybe traders are expecting the Federal Reserve will just keep a lid on any craziness. The bet seems to be that Jerome Powell is the incarnation of Janet Yellen. Fed policy is still on track, at least that seems to be the prevailing bet. The thinking is that rates can go higher from here without doing much damage. The trick is that the increases must be gradual. 5 years ago, yields surged after Federal Reserve Chair Ben Bernanke said the Fed might slow asset purchases as the economy found its footing. The Fed's bond purchases were a holdover from the financial crisis when quantitative easing was implemented to spur economic growth. The 10-year bond yield began May 2013 at 1.63%. before spiking above 2% when Bernanke announced the Fed's intention. Go way back, 1987, during the Black Monday stock market crash in October of that year, yields spiked. The yield on the 30-year Treasury bond spiked to 10.25% in October after hitting the year's low of 7.29% in January. Now, if the Fed can make rate increases as boring as watching paint dry, maybe the markets can adjust. And now the narrative is that rising rates might not be so bad, might actually be a good thing. That stocks can go higher as interest rates rise, it sort of makes sense. Rates typically go up in the latter stages of an economic cycle at a time when companies still have fairly solid fundamentals. Earnings still look good enough to keep the party going, at least for a while. As inflation picks up, stocks can benefit from overall appreciating asset values. Small-cap stocks have typically fared the best during periods of rising rates, gaining 7.3% for every 100 basis point increase. Meanwhile, mid-caps have added 5.9%, and large-caps have advanced 2.5%. The problem with this kind of strong bounce is that people get overconfident. There is still a strong chance of a retest. Typically, recoveries from sharp sell-offs require reassurances. In other words, investors will need proof that the bounce was for real. The most likely source of reassurance could come from the Federal Reserve, which has another policy meeting in about 1 month. Another reason to expect a retest is that a stock bottom is rarely a V pattern. Any pullback might also represent another buying opportunity, provided the retest doesn't result in a breakdown. And quite simply, the economy is in pretty good shape right now, not just in the U.S., but globally. Saw it again today. Asian stocks and European stocks were all moving higher. There was and is a lot of money in the market with no conviction behind it, buying index funds and ETFs just to be part of the party or for fear of missing out, an element of hot money. Last week was most probably the preview to the bigger event that we'll see sometime this year. Following many forecast increases by corporations in recent weeks, analysts on average now expect S&P 500 companies to increase their earnings per share in 2018 by 18.9%, that according to the latest from Thomson Reuters IBES. Apple today, up 3.36%, contributed more than any other stock to the gains in the S&P 500 after Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway made Apple its top investment. Cisco Systems up 4.7% following upbeat results and a strong forecast as the network gear maker's years-long efforts to transform into a software-focused company look to be paying off. CBS reported fourth-quarter earnings and revenue that beat analyst expectations. Stock gained about 2% in after-hours trade following the report. Chairman and CEO Les Moonves said that the company's total subscriber base continues to grow at an accelerated pace. FANG stocks are getting their bite back, but there's one name that sat out the rally today, Facebook. While shares of Amazon, Netflix, and Alphabet were sharply in the green today, Facebook shares struggling to stay afloat. Facebook has fallen more than 7% from all-time highs hit February 1st. It's currently up just 1% year-to-date. Swiss drug maker Roche Holdings said it would buy the rest of the privately held U.S. cancer data company Flatiron Health for $1.9 billion, trying to speed up development and delivery of breakthrough medicines for cancer patients. And federal regulators hit U.S. Bancorp, the nation's biggest regional bank, with more than $800 million in fines for deficient anti-money laundering practices. Justice Department announced a deferred prosecution with U.S. Bancorp related to the Bank Secrecy Act. Separately, the Fed ordered the Minneapolis-based bank to improve compliance with anti-money laundering laws. Another strong day for Wall Street. Fifth in a row, Dow Industrials up 306 to finish at 25,200. S&P 500 up 32 at 2,731. And the NASDAQ Composite up 112 at 7,256. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and our daily blog, text, audio, and much more, free podcast at eatthebankers.com.